to have gotten the hang of it, this fun thing she wanted so desperately. Matter of fact, it looks like she's having the time of her life, and it's not with me. I want to go over and take her hand. I want to be the one to teach her how to line dance. I want to be the one to make her laugh. But instead, I'm stuck on the outside watching them, holding the hand of a woman I don't know and have no desire to know. How did things get so messed up? The minute Stella spots us, the smile she's wearing disappears and her feet stop moving. Our eyes meet, and what passes between us makes my chest feel tight and my lungs burn. Makes me ashamed. Makes me want to punch a fucking wall. That's when I know I'm in deep. Maybe in love. Definitely in trouble, because I may have just ruined this thing between us. I pray not for good. But I'm all in now. I can't back down. My pride won't allow it. It's the alcohol talking. That's what I tell myself. The next set is a slow song. The live band playing a decent cover of Van Morrison's Someone Like You. Unlikely choice for a country western bar, and yet it works. I pull the blonde, whatever her name is, closer. Her hand clammy, her perfume overly sweet. We fall easily into rhythm. The blonde's a good dancer. I glance briefly at Stella and Levi, standing still while everyone else keeps moving around them. Another couple dances into my line of sight and I lose them. The next time I glance over, they're gone. My conscience starts screaming at me, that I'm an idiot, that I should have listened to Noah, that I blew it. Panicked, I look around and spot Levi talking to Noah. They're looking straight at me. When I scan the room for Stella, I can't find her. A mix of anger and anxiety surges up. I'm pissed that Levi let her out of his sight. Leaving the blonde standing on the dance floor without an explanation, I rush over to our table and find it empty. The three dudes at the next table are gone as well. My heart starts to hammer against my sternum hard enough to bust through bone. Where the hell is she? A spike of fear raises the hair on the back of my neck. I crash through the crowded room, yelling her name. People are staring now. I don't give a fuck. All I care about is finding her and making sure she's safe. She's not in the ladies' room, so I head for the exit and blast open the doors, startling the guys working security. They leap off their stools and glare at me. I don't give a fuck. Wide-eyed, I scan the parking lot and finally discover her standing near Levi's pickup truck. The air trapped in my lungs for the last 1,000 hours hisses out. "I've been looking all over for you," I yell, storming over to her. I didn't mean to shout. I don't shout at women, but I'm worked up, the scare she gave me spilling over into my voice. Her eyes get real big. "You could have fooled me. Looked at me like you had your hands full of the blonde. And don't you dare raise your voice at me. You can't just take off like that. It's dangerous for the baby." I can't explain the blonde. How do I explain that I'm an idiot without her thinking I'm an idiot? Now she looks hurt. I can't do anything right tonight. I don't know how to get us back to normal. We stand there silently staring at each other for a few uncomfortable minutes.
"I'd like to go home, please."
Her cell phone rings. She glances at the screen and sends it to voicemail. "Who's that?"
"None of your business," she snaps, her eyes narrowed.
"Is it that douchebag cowboy?"
"And if it is, what do you care?"
Those words push me right over the edge of sanity, into irrational fury. "You want fun, Stella? I'll show you what fun looks like," I say on a goddamn roll now. "A good old-fashioned leather belt, some lube, and a bottle of Macallan, and we should have us some rugged fun." Her eyes flash, the pink neon from the glowing rowdy sign turning them purple. Heat crawls up her neck and over her face.
"You're vile," she mutters. "You're a vile human being. And I use that term loosely. Human being, that is."
The pink in her cheeks fades, leaving her pale. A jolt of fear hits me hard and fast. What if I've gotten her so upset it harms her and the baby? I'll never forgive myself. Levi steps out of the bar and makes his way over to us.
Levi, can you take me home, please?
She says in a small voice. My stomach churns. Those Jägermeister shots are bullet holes in my gut right about now. Stella, I reach out for her, but she sidesteps, easily avoiding me. My reflexes haven't gone to shit.
Course I will, Levi answers and holds out his hand for her. You're taking a cab, or getting no one to drive you.
My little bro shakes his head at me. Without another word, they get into the pickup. Music and voices, women laughing, men joking with each other, spill out of the door as people leave. I stand in the middle of the dusty parking lot watching the people I care about drive away. The alcohol made me do it. That's what I keep telling myself. Doesn't make me feel any better, though. 10 minutes later, the cab pulls up. 20 minutes after that, I drop onto the couch in the family room with a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue in hand.
Chapter 20. Stella. He never made it to our room last night. I don't even know if he made it home. He could have gone home with the blonde, for all I know. I'm so angry I could bend a crowbar. Not even the ubiquitous morning puke-a-thon manages to shake the anger. I shower angry. I slip on underwear and a robe angry. I'm too angry to get dressed without coffee, so I head to the kitchen for a tall cup of decaf. I guess I do have a temper. Or maybe he just brings out the worst in me. A masculine groan coming from the great room gets my attention. Tinker, tail wagging, leads me to the other side of the couch, where I find Mr. Fuckhard stinking of booze and sprawled out face down, naked except for his black boxer briefs. An empty bottle of Johnny Walker lies on the floor along with his clothes. I hope he has a migraine. His arm hanging down, Tinker nudges his hand and he pushes her away. I leave him to retrieve 2 Advil and a bottle of water from the kitchen. When I return, nothing's changed. He's still half dead and I'm still angry. He groans and I push his arm with my bare toes. He swats at me. Then he blinks, line of sight pointed at the wood floor. Lifting his head, bloodshot eyes take me in. An eternity later, he blinks and groans. I hope it's really painful. Slowly, he sits up while I continue to glare. Not a drop of sympathy for him. Not one freaking drop. Hiding his eyes, he bends over and places his head in his hands, elbows on his knees. I hold out both the water and the painkillers. I'm dangerously close to denying him the painkillers, except I need him to understand what I'm about to say. He takes both without looking up. I'm going home. He shakes his head and winces. Serves him right. Throwing down the painkillers, he chases them with a sip of water. After that, he stands and stumbles toward the kitchen holding his head. I'm not asking for permission.
No talking yet,
he grumbles, his voice as hoarse as if he'd been yelling all night. To hell with that, and him. I wouldn't take this behavior from someone rocking my world, let alone someone who has made it abundantly clear I rate lower than a stranger he picks up at a bar. Grabbing the pot of freshly brewed coffee from the coffee maker, he stares into the pot, then drinks from it. I don't bother to tell him it's decaf. Throat working as he swallows, he holds up his index finger. I've got a finger for him, the middle one. I don't know what's gotten into you, but I've had enough. He continues drinking. And word of caution? If you come back to New York and continue to treat me like I'm cattle, a possession, you will damage this friendship beyond repair. He places the pot down, his eyes downcast as he leans on the counter for support.
I'm sorry. I was a real asshole last night and—
Last night? I shout. How about for the past week?
Well, you're not helping the situation,
he shouts back, his eyes sparking, then winces again. He can't be serious. Is he really blaming me? The hell are are you talking about? You're blaming me? Me! You've been unbearable. When you've been around, that is, usually you're running in the opposite direction. But somehow, in your twisted little male peanut-sized brain, it's my fault? Yes, goddammit! Dancing, smiling at that fucking cowboy! His hand slashes through the air as if he's indicating to someone in the corner. The veins near his temple pop up. Eyes impossibly wide, he advances on me, stopping a mere foot away. You never smile at me like that! Huh? What does that have to do with anything? Because I'm jealous, okay? And you've made it very clear you're not attracted to me, but all I can think about is this. He's on me before I can blink. His arms crushing me to him. He kisses me like I hold the last breath of air on the planet and he means to steal it. A beat later, he stops. His lips against mine, he murmurs. Kiss me back. Please kiss me back. The demands of my body override common sense and the anger I was feeling less than a second ago. All of it. One brush of my lips against his, and it's over. I kiss him, and I don't hold anything back. Suddenly, we're a tangle of arms and legs, my hands in his hair, his hips bearing down on me, my breasts smashed against his chest, his erection, long and thick and impossibly hard, pressing into my stomach. He picks me up off my feet, and I wrap my legs around his waist. With the robe falling open, all that separates us is our underwear. Teeth clashing, noses banging, we're so consumed with desire, skill has no part in it. Somewhere in the background, my senses take note of the taste of coffee, and anger, and months of pent-up, frustrated longing. His silky lips on mine, warm and pillowy. The scent of him. Johnny Walker with a side of sex. And I'm talking fantastic sex. From my face, his hands travel up and thread through my hair. Tilting my head for a better angle, his tongue expertly strokes mine, tempting me to meet him halfway with stealthy seduction. And I do so gladly. I am officially gone, swept away by a tide of lust and need and something deeper. Something.
You kids about done?
Mr. Wilder's scratchy voice cuts right between us. It cools the air without snuffing out the fire. It becomes increasingly clear nothing is snuffing out this fire. Clinging to each other, reluctant to let go, Dane's chest rises and falls against my swollen and sensitive breasts, his heart pounding next to mine. His eyes have yet to pull away from mine, wide and filled with apprehension as much as wonder and longing. Dane's grip slowly loosens. My hips, performing the slow slide down, get caught on the erection jutting out from his body. His eyes flutter at the friction, jaw hardening in frustration. I bite my bottom lip to stave off the sudden urge to laugh.
Bedroom. Now.
He whisper growls. Now? I repeat, gaping. His gaze falls on my breasts, visible under the half-open robe.
We need to talk.
He exhales sharply and lets go, allowing me to close the robe and tighten the belt. Oh, is all I can say, a goofy smile overtaking my face. Dane slides his hand in mine and turns to face his father. Standing in the kitchen with a smirk, Bill winks at his son while I do my best not to melt into a puddle of embarrassment now that the days of lust has worn off.
You were taken forever,
Bill says after the Wilder men exchange a look. He picks up the coffee pot and inspects the contents with a frown. Then he dumps what little is left in the sink, and after rinsing it out, starts brewing a fresh pot.
Excuse us. We have some business to attend to.
Without waiting for a reply, Dane drags me back to our bedroom and locks the door behind us. There are so many questions I want to ask, I don't know where to begin. Which is why I sit on the front of the bed and wait for him to speak first. He stands before me in only his boxers. With his hands on his hips and his expression pensive, he's a Greek statue come to life. Questions? What questions? My hungry eyes trace the perfectly contoured lines of flesh, every ridge and valley of the man whose child I'm bearing. I follow the path marked by a strip of dark blonde hair until it disappears under his briefs. Under my watch, his dick twitches and hardens.
Eyes up, shorty, or this talk ain't gonna happen.
A deep flush crawls up my neck. My eyes snap up to his face, where I find a small smile. Not one of triumph, but rather of affection. This man cares about me. His open, guileless eyes tell me so. One question answered. Only 100 more to go.
You're not going anywhere,
he tells me. His voice quiet only in a way a voice can be when the message isn't up for debate. My spine stiffens. Not the best start, but I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. It's enough to clear my head of the lust fog, however, sanity returning all at once. We can't do this. There's too much to lose and very little to gain. So we have sex. Probably great sex. Maybe even epic sex. Then what? For the rest of my life, I'm forced to watch a revolving door of women coming in and out of his life. I'm not built that way. I can't be casual about this. We can't do this.
Why not?
Because...
Why not?
Because it's against the rules. Comes out in one long, frustrated exhale. I'm not saying I haven't thought about it. Of course I have. It's just that... Stepping closer, he slowly sinks to his knees and pries my legs apart, fingers splaying on the sensitive skin of my inner thighs. I watch him do it, as if I'm having an outer body experience. Turned on, warring with myself. I mean... I've thought about it, you know, I mumble as I watch him wedge his hips in the space he's created.
You've thought about me?
He mumbles back. He strokes the inside of my thighs with those calluses, and an electric current travels up to where I've thought about having him. I've been turned on before, but this is on a whole other level.
I've thought about you. I've thought about you so much it's killing me still.
Eyes beseeching, voice thick, he nuzzles my neck, and I'm seconds away from possibly making the biggest mistake of my life. Tentatively, my hands explore his biceps, where the skin is tight and warm. They move up over his sculpted shoulders and wrap around his neck. I pull him close. Just this one time, I tell myself. It won't hurt to touch him just this once.
I think about all the things I want to do to you.
His hands sliding over my ass yank me closer, close enough that I can feel his hard length pinned between us. You do, I say dumbly. All the aggression dancing between us a short time ago has changed into something tender. He cups my face, and takes his time looking his fill, as if he's committing this moment to memory, and he doesn't want to miss a thing.
I think about how good I want to make you feel.
He presses closer, dragging his erection against my core. My eyes squeeze shut in agonizing anticipation. His lips, hovering over my lips, slide right and place a light kiss on the side of my neck, near my ear. Dane, I gasp, on the brink of losing what little hold on sanity I have left.
Do you want me?
Do I want him? I almost laugh. Every cell in my body is ordering me to get closer. His hips roll. Driven by instinct, mine lift to meet his. The feel of him through our underwear alone enough to make my toes curl.
So yeah, I want him. Because I want you so badly it hurts. It fucking hurts, Stell. Wanting you is all I can think about. Has been for a long time.
The moment stills. Which road we travel soon to be determined, because not only do I want this man, but I like him. I mean, I really like him. I like everything about him. I like his stupid country boy routine. I like his tendency to always lighten the mood. I like the crinkles at the corners of his expressive eyes he's earned by smiling too much. I like that he's a reluctant hero. But most of all, I like his heart. His great, big heart.
And I don't want to lose all of him by asking for a little bit more.
Yes, I do.
Pushing out a sharp breath, he places the lightest kiss on my lips.
I'm taking you on a date tonight.
I don't ask what this means, even though I'm dying to. I don't ask how he feels about me. I don't ask where this is going. I don't ask the hundreds of questions sprinting in circles in my head, because I don't want to ruin this. Whatever this is. For once in my life, I chuck caution to the wind, dispense with the spreadsheet, and just go with it. It's only a date. What could it hurt to go on one date?
Hello,
Delia croaks. After Dane left for a business meeting regarding the ranch, I went straight to his office to get some work done. Delia hates interruptions when she's working on a new book. Therefore, watching the time like a hawk, I wait for it to strike 5 o'clock to call my love doctor. I hear a muffled,
"Colton, get off of me."
"Yeah, I'm serious. Time to go." "What are you doing?" I feel compelled to ask, as I glance at my phone just to be sure. "Yep, 6:10 in New York."
"Taking a break from writing?"
"Right." I hear more strange sounds.
"Hold on,"
she says to me.
"No, you're not sleeping over.
Because this isn't a slumber party, that's why. I have an early meeting with a spin bike tomorrow."
"Lock the door on your way out. Thanks, sweetie."
Poor Colton.
"What's up?"
"He kissed me," I whisper, as if there's any chance of anyone overhearing. I locked the door before dialing her number.
"Gee whiz, Jan, do you think you'll go to second base with him?"
I can always count on my best friend to turn my big deals into a whole lot of nothing.
"I don't know, Marcia, should I?"
"Hell yeah. Get it while you can," she practically shouts. How predictable. I don't know why I ask when I already know the answer.
"Ride that baloney pony across the plains of Oklahoma."
The snort cannot be helped. Gross. That's... You're really gross sometimes. Oh, please. You love it. I do love it. I retort, snickering. I don't know. My eyes wander to the wall over the draft night picture of Dane holding up his gladiator jersey. He was so young. The smile is the same, though. This could ruin everything.
I've got news for you. It's already ruined. At least your intention of keeping this thing all business is. You're half in love with him already, so you may as well shoplift the booty from the hot single soon-to-be dad.
I can't shoplift. I'm not good at shoplifting. You know that jean that all girls get? The one that comes with instructions on how to flirt?
Yeah, I don't have that.
I can talk to men, I can work with them, I can negotiate with them, I can even hang with them, but I cannot flirt. The few times I've attempted it, I end up sounding like I'm reading sports stats or stock analysis.
In other words, very unsexy.
And I can't even refute what she said about me being half in love because A, it would be a bald-faced lie, and B, she would never buy it.
Jiminy crickets, this is not brain surgery. Take your clothes off and I guarantee he'll take care of the rest.
And then what? What happens after? What if we can't get along?
Stop overthinking. Stop trying to put everything in a box with a label.
I do not do that.
Maybe I do. A little bit. Yeah, you do.
I do not. A tiny bit.
What's your favorite store?
That means I'm organized.
Say it.
Sigh.
Big, heavy sigh.
The Container Store.
Enough said. I'm hanging up now. Happy shoplifting.
The line goes dead. Chapter 21. Stella. By the time Dane returned from his meeting around early evening, I was showered and dressed. Having managed to salvage the black jersey dress I wore here by hanging it in the bathroom and letting the steam do the job, I step into the great room to find Dane waiting for me. He turns away from the massive television screen where a football game is playing and meets my gaze. It doesn't look like a comb has been anywhere near that head, and still, wearing a simple white dress shirt and a pair of navy slacks, he just might qualify as the sexiest man on the planet. I don't know where to look, what to say. Everything being out in the open feels awkward to me. Meanwhile, he's as relaxed as ever. Story of my life. Do you miss it? When he stares back blankly, I point to the television. His focus remaining strictly on me, he slowly shakes his head.
Come here.
A rough-hued voice commands. I've never been a fan of being ordered around, but my feet seem to like it because they obey without question, carrying me straight over to him. He wraps a big hand around my neck, fingers raking through my hair. His gaze openly roams over my breasts, my hips, my legs, with an expression that can only be described as hungry.
You look gorgeous. But then you always do to me.
These vulnerable and honest words spoken in a low voice find the crack in the wall around my heart and get in. I can't look up. I can't because he'll see it all. All my hopes and desires. All my doubts and fears.
I'm starving. Let's go.
He says, snapping the living, breathing tension. A smile stretches across my face. When are you not hungry? Taking my hand, he leads me out of the house to the truck in the driveway. Once I'm in the passenger seat, his hand hanging over the top of the open door, he pauses, watching me with heavy-lidded eyes.
Hardly ever,
he murmurs seductively, one corner of his mouth tilting up in a smile that says he can't wait to demonstrate. My face catches fire, the dark of night saving me from looking like a neon sign. The kiss upped the ante. He's no longer hiding behind veiled suggestions, behind the jokes. He's boldly staking a claim. And that claim is sex with me. 45 minutes later, we're back in Oklahoma City, pulling into a busy parking lot where a valet takes the truck. On the car ride over, he explained that he spent the day negotiating the sale of the ranch. Most of the land and the stock, that is. The houses and stables would remain in his family. I wondered how Bill felt about it, but didn't pry.
I can't wait for you to meet them.
Who?
My friends,
he says with a sweet smile. My stomach flips. He wants me to meet his friends? For reasons unknown, this feels like an important detail. We walk into the bar and all the people crowding it turn to stare. It's busy for a Thursday night. The restaurant is beautifully decorated, contemporary. Gleaming dark wood and nickel accents, lovely velvet-covered booths, and a dance floor in the back. It has a sexy, loungy vibe to it that wouldn't be out of place in Manhattan. Behind the backlit bar, a very fit guy with a neat short beard and a trendy haircut eyeballs Dane. His hair is pitch black, offsetting his light brown eyes and the blonde freckles dusting his face. Tattoos on his neck peek out over his white shirt collar and cuffs. He's handsome in a moody, broody way. In other words, not my type.
Noah! Fuck you, Dane!
Noah, the angry bartender, responds.
You still mad, boo?
Turning to me, Dane says,
Noah here is still mad I chose Notre Dame over Oklahoma. It's a touchy subject for him.
Noah winks at me and I smile back.
What are you doing here?
Dane asks.
They're short-staffed.
Moody Noah answers.
Where's J-Bear? With the kids tonight. Nyla's in the kitchen. Noah?
This is Stella.
Noah turns his whiskey-colored eyes on me and grins, his perfect teeth splitting his neat beard.
What did you do to get mixed up with the likes of him?
Long story. The banter, the smiles, and easy conversation amongst friends. For most people, it's a small thing. Not to me, however. To me, it's all new. For the first time in my life, I feel like I'm not an outsider looking in. I'm accepted, without judgment or stipulation. For the first time, I'm included without having to work my fingers to the bone to earn it.
We'll catch up later, boo. I'm on a date.
That word hits me in the heart.
But I'm not going to ruin tonight by second-guessing myself or wanting answers to questions that haven't been asked.
I let fate run away with me. I'm going to live in the moment for a change. Dane leans closer as we walk away.
It was always me, Noah, and Jermaine in high school.
Did they play football too?
Yeah. Jermaine went on to play center for the Kansas City Chiefs. He retired 3 years ago, and Noah unfortunately got injured and had to quit.
The look on Dane's face tells me there's more to that story, but I don't have time for questions. A woman approaches us with outstretched arms. A gorgeous black woman with long, chunky cornrow braids.
Hey, beautiful,
Dane says, walking into the woman's arms. She laughs when his hug lifts her off her feet.
Where the heck have you been? I thought you were moving back to the ranch after you announced retirement,
she asks with a wide grin. Then she spots me and her expression turns curious.
Nyla, this is Stella,
Dane says cheerfully.
Nice to meet you, Stella, she says with a genuine smile. I take it you're the reason this guy hasn't moved back home?
No, I answer, while Dane says yes at the same time. Our eyes meet, and Dane's are filled with affection.
There's no other way to describe it.
No Jay tonight?
He's with the kids. The sitter got sick. Nyla sighs tiredly.
I wanted to tell you two together, but this will do. We're having a baby.
I instantly flush, and Nyla's tip-tilted eyes widen, inspecting me closer. Oh my God! She throws her arms around me in a tight hug. It's about time, she shouts, glaring at Dane.
No more excuses now. You two are coming to New York to visit.
I'd love to. As soon as you find me someone to take care of 5 kids, a dog, 2 cats, 2 parakeets, and a restaurant. Dane shakes his head.
My condolences.
Nyla slaps his arm.
You're having dinner, right?
We sure are.
Let me get you a table.
Nyla motions a woman over, the hostess, I assume. The young lady beams up at Dane.
Save it, Denise. He's nothing but trouble.
Nyla smirks, catching my eyes with a wink.
Take them to table 12. I'm going to order the chef's menu. Any allergies? She asks us.
I shake my head.
Great. I'll be by later to make sure he's behaving, Stella.
I can't wait to tell you all of the embarrassing stories I know about Dane.
Okay, time to break this up. Bro code, Nyla.
She plants a hand on her shapely hip. Do I look like a bro to you?
You're an honorary member. Respect the rules,
he tells her, and she swats him again. With that, the hostess leads us to our table. As soon as she departs, things get a little weird. The tension is back. The awareness that we're no longer hiding under the pretense that we're spending time together for the sake of the baby. And like every other date I've been on, I feel awkward and unsure how to proceed. A new song comes on, the lyrics familiar while the voice singing is different. Jolene? By Ray LaMontagne? I ask the very serious man sitting across from me. So intense, I hardly recognize him. His gaze is all heat and sin. The good kind. The kind that promises to keep me up at night yearning for more. My eyes veer away across the busy dining room.
This cover is by Eric Church. I love this song,
he says quietly. It compels me to look at him. Goosebumps break out over my arms and snake up the back of my neck. He looks at the dance floor and my gaze follows. A few couples hold each other, barely moving to the sound. No past or present. Lost in this one perfect moment.
Wanna dance?
He doesn't blink. He doesn't repeat himself. He simply waits me out. Those soulful eyes trained on me as if I'm all that exists. You know I don't dance. One side of his mouth curves up.
It's real easy. You move your feet back and forth.
Don't be an ass. I mean, I'm not good at it. His eyes narrow, crinkling on the sides the way they do when he's trying not to laugh or smile, which is almost always. He gets up from the table and holds out his hand. Without hesitation, I take it, and he pulls me up, smoothly navigating us between the waitstaff and tables. For a man his size, he's incredibly coordinated. No surprise he made a living out of it. This, of course, gives birth to a whole host of filthy thoughts about what else he can do with all this natural-born talent. Guiding me onto the dance floor, he steps closer. Close enough that even in heels, I have to tip my head back to look at him. I'm not sure how long we stand there holding hands and staring at each other. What I do know is a surge of unspoiled joy rises up in me.
When in doubt, lean on me.
His voice is heavy with emotion, the rasp more pronounced.
I'll take care of the rest.
Before I can make excuses, his warmth and strength wraps around me. One large hand on my lower back, the other covering my hand over his heart. His head dips, his lips near my ear.
"I knew you'd feel like this,"
he murmurs, raw desire hanging on every single syllable. Telling myself that I shouldn't be encouraging this, whatever this is, isn't cutting it anymore. Nothing has ever felt better. I'm so tired of denying myself because I may wind up hurt. The hurt happens anyway, so I might as well enjoy the ride. Like how? Breathless, the words barely carry. Expression solemn, he takes his time answering.
"Perfect in my arms."
This isn't one of his throwaway lines, and I have no snappy comeback, just a lump stuck in my throat and a heavy ache in my chest and the world spinning out of control. I wrap my arms around his waist. Eric Church sings and we sway, body to body, my head to his heart. His beautiful heart. I can feel it beating strongly under my cheek. He's right. Leaning on him, letting him lead. This is easy.
"I don't kiss on a first date,"
he says with a straight face.
"But I'm gonna make an exception for you, Shorty."
His lips start to lower and my eyes flutter shut in eager anticipation.
"Well, if it isn't the prodigal son," a woman behind me drawls in a heavy local accent. The man that was all soft and wrapped around me a second ago goes as stiff and cold as an ice sculpture in my arms. My eyes pop open, and Dane straightens to his full height, blasting the woman who spoke with enough displeasure to turn her to stone. I look over my shoulder to find her standing on the dance floor, and she is downright gorgeous. Long chestnut hair, big blue eyes, tall and greyhound thin with huge breasts. Every feature on her face, perfect. My mood falls so hard and fast it lands in a graveyard. She cocks her head and openly inspects me, flat eyes sliding from head to toe. I become statue-like, too. Under her scrutiny, I can feel my hair getting bigger by the second and my ass expanding with it, quadrupling in width. I've never longed for a flat iron more in my life, and silently curse the hair gods that decided to give this woman a waterfall of naturally highlighted, perfectly straight hair, and me a bush. Not bothering to feign a smile, she thrusts a bony hand at me. "I'm Brand." Maren Morris's "I Wish I Was" comes on, drowning out her voice. "Hi, Brenda. I'm Stella." I take her hand and after a quick shake, she yanks hers back. "It's Brandy, with two E's," she corrects.
Brandy with two E's doesn't seem too pleased to make my acquaintance. Her gaze drops me and goes straight for her original target.
"I didn't believe it when Jody called and said you were here."
"Believe it,"
the Iceman standing next to me says. Taking my hand, he drags me away back to the table where we find our food waiting. The presentation of the chef's tasting menu is so beautiful, my mouth waters at the mere sight of it. Undeterred by Dane's demeanor, Brandy follows. We sit, and Dane immediately digs into his food, head down, angry eating. As if this isn't awkward enough, she's presently standing next to the table with her hands on her hips and her long pink fingernails tapping on her Hermes belt. My eyes bounce back and forth between Dane and Brandy. It doesn't take a congressional investigation to conclude that this was once one of his women.
"Would you like to sit?" I offer. Seems only polite.
"No,"
Dane shouts, while Brandy responds, "Love to." She slides her tiny jeans-clad ass onto the booth next to Dane, and he makes an annoyed face when he's forced to slide over to make room for her. Then, before tucking back into his food, he directs his annoyed face at me, as if I'm to blame. "How's your daddy?" Dane turns to Brandy with a heavy scowl.
"Does everybody know?"
"Yes." Meanwhile, I eat my dinner. Not exactly the date I was hoping for.
"He's fine."
He barks. I've never seen him this curt. Needless to say, my curiosity is piqued. Brandy's attention makes the trip back to me. "Who are you?" I look at Dane and find him staring right back at me. This should be interesting. When I don't answer fast enough, Brandy's predatory focus returns to him. At this point, I'm developing a kink in my neck. "Who is she?"
"My girlfriend,"
he says, his voice calm, his eyes soft and steady on me.
"We're having a baby."
His lips curve up slightly.
"We're pregnant."
His smile grows wider. "Baby?" Brandy repeats, her perfect features twisting in confusion.
"Yeah,"
he affirms, with indisputable pride in his voice. And my heart trips over itself, stumbles and falls a little closer to love with this man. This unexpectedly selfless, smart, funny man. As the knowledge sinks in, Brandy's face shuts down, her bright blue eyes losing most of the sharpness to them. "Tell your daddy that my daddy still wants to buy the ranch."
"Will do."
Brandy aims her narrowed-eyed stare at me.
"Did he tell you that we had a baby?"
And just like that, my stupid, klutzy heart turns to stone and crumbles under the weight of disappointment I feel.
"Damn it!"
Dane's booming voice makes me jerk, the silverware crashing back down on the table he slammed with a flat palm.
"We did. We had a baby, and he made me get rid of it," she hurries to inform me.
I'm going to be sick. I'm about to throw up the filet with sherry mushroom sauce I ate minutes ago. "Excuse me." I quickly slide out of the booth and run to the ladies' room with my hand over my mouth.
"Stella!"
In a state of panic, I blast open the doors and make it to the toilet in the nick of time, the food coming up a lot faster than it went down. The door bangs open for a second time and heavy male footsteps enter.
"Stella?"
"You can't be in here," I hear the middle-aged woman standing at the sink tell him, the first woman in the history of mankind that doesn't immediately fall into a lust trance by the sight of the great Dane Wilder.
"Stella?"
His voice is soft and sweet. His big hand gently falls on my back and rubs up and down my spine. He grabs my hair and holds it away from my face as I heave up more food.
"Let me get you a paper towel."
A beat later, he's pressing one into my hand. I wipe my mouth and start to cry. And not small, delicate tears. Nope. I'm talking no-holds-barred crying. Ugly crying. Crying like someone ripped my heart out. Crying like someone told me my return on investments was only 2% for the year. This is everything I fear. I can't be my mother. Longing for a man that was never mine in the first place. Continuously reminded of the women he had and the women he may want in the future. I can't live like that. Dane bundles me in his arms and holds on tight, whispering platitudes, words I can't make out, kisses the top of my head, the shell of my ear, my tear-soaked cheek. I should stop him, push him away, but I can't manage it. Boneless in his arms and exhausted beyond measure, I lean in and let him hold me.
"Let's go home."
"Wait," I croak. I tear myself away and make it to the sink, splash water on my face, rinse out my mouth. Hot mess, doesn't even begin to describe me.
In the mirror, our eyes lock, and it's all there. A myriad of emotions displayed openly on his face. Guilt, concern, and discomfort are only a few.
I'm fine,
I tell him. I'm ready to repeat it 1,000 times if that's what it will take to wipe away the concern. Ignoring me, he hooks an arm under my knees and picks me up with no effort whatsoever, my arms automatically encircling his neck.
I can walk, Dane.
In a rush to leave, Dane doesn't spare anyone a glance. While in contrast, we immediately become the object of everyone's interest. Leaning against the bar, Brandy's talking to another woman. Their speculative glances track us across the room. Without a doubt, they're talking about me. About what a first-class sucker I am.
What about Nyla? We didn't say goodbye.
Dane's grip on me tightens.
I'll call later.
As he carries me past the bar, Noah spots us and frowns.
Tell Nyla we had to leave.
Noah nods, his hawkish eyes narrowing in concern. Outside, the clean air settles my stomach, the nausea somewhat dissipating. I'm placed on my feet while he unlocks the truck, after which he puts me inside and steps between my legs.
She's lying.
His big hands cradle my face, forcing me to meet his examining gaze.
I don't care,
I snap, head shaking.
She is. She's lying. And I'll explain everything when we get home.
I don't care, Dane. Your personal life is none of my business.
Bullshit.
His long lashes lower. In his gold-flecked eyes, I see burning need and desire. I don't doubt that he wants me. The question is, for how long? His focus darts between my eyes and my lips. And then he does it. He lowers his lips onto mine and softly, gently, tentatively, kisses me. I push him off and he lifts his head, eyelids heavy, gaze drowsy.
I just threw up.
He smiles then, one of his crooked smiles, and it melts my lonely heart.
Stella,
he murmurs, as if it's a term of endearment, his favorite word in the English language, or any other language for that matter. His head slowly dips again and keeps lowering until his mouth meets mine. This is nothing like the kiss in the kitchen. That was a mauling, a punishment. This one is tender and honest, unsullied by other motives. This is a kiss for the sake of a kiss. It feels as if everything has been leading up to this moment. This terrifying, beautiful, imperfect moment. And as my eyes shut, something magical happens. When I was 9, I saw Sleeping Beauty for the first time, and I was not impressed. Why would Sleeping Beauty want to be kissed? I didn't understand it. I thought it was yucky. I remember asking my mother about it.
Because with the right man, she explained, you'll feel so happy you could fly. And when you close your eyes, you'll be flying among the stars.
She said all this in Spanish, of course. Years later, at the advanced age of 15, I had my first kiss with Joey Finnegan in a risque game of Truth or Dare. All I felt was a slimy, wet slide, and all I saw were the whitehead pimples near his nose. But now? Now all I see are stars. An explosion of stars. A supernova's got nothing on Dane Wilder's kiss.
Chapter 22. Stella.
The ride home was quiet. Nervous anticipation. Lust. You name it, it was all there, crowding the space between us. Neither one of us said or did anything to acknowledge it. As soon as the truck stopped, I jumped out and darted into the house, shouting over my shoulder about having to use the bathroom. I'm a real cool customer, as you can tell. But I needed to regroup. I needed to get away from the sphere of powerful pheromones he was emitting and clear my head. Because all the months of foreplay boil down to this. Once that line is crossed, there is no turning back. This friendship, unorthodox as it may be, will be irrevocably changed. In the bathroom, I wash my face, my teeth, brush my hair. I inspect myself in the mirror. Anything to drag it out as long as possible. Sex isn't a big deal. Sex with Dane, however, is the biggest deal of all. And sex is what we're circling around. Nothing more. At least for him it isn't. When I step into the bedroom, he's sitting at the end of the bed. Shoes off, like me. Still dressed, like me. His elbows rest on his knees. His hands are tucked under his chin. He looks as conflicted as I feel. I'm not overreacting. This is big for both of us. He glances up with a gaze so intense I'm surprised it doesn't burn the clothes off my body. He holds out a hand and in two steps I'm there, mine sliding into his, as natural as breathing. He pulls me onto his lap, his thick, muscular thighs contracting at the feel of my soft ones, and wraps his arms around my waist, careful not to press on my tummy. The nerves dissolve into desire. The little voice in my head, the one that loves to scream out four alarm fires, strangely quiet for once. His long lashes lower, throwing shade on those movie star cheekbones, the ones I know he inherited from his mother.
Remember when I told you that I always wear protection?
Dread falls heavy. It's immediate. 1 minute all is good, the next I'm bracing for the worst. I'm really not up for hearing about his sexual history with Brandy with the perfect hair and the two E's.
Yeah?
I came home for Christmas my sophomore year. I didn't always, but that year I did. Noah and I were partying. We were both wasted.
He grimaces. I think I know the punchline. When I try to push off his lap, his grip tightens, gently but firmly keeping me in place.
Hear me out,
he pleads. Looking into his handsome face, I nod for him to continue.
We had sex, and I did get her pregnant. That's the reason I've been so strict about it since.
My eyes cut to the ceiling as I lie back on the bed. Following, he gets up on an elbow and hovers over me.
She assumed I'd marry her.
His face grows dark, and the hand gripping my hip tightens. You don't owe me an explanation.
Yes, I do.
He insists.
When I made it very clear I had no intention of doing that, that if it turned out to be mine, I would take care of my kid, nothing else. She got rid of it without telling me. She said she wasn't sure it was mine.
There's no guessing how he feels about it. When his downcast eyes rise, they're clouded with pain.
I'm sorry.
She didn't need the money. Her daddy's got more than she could ever spend. She wanted a husband. One that was set to become famous. And I was a prime target. When she didn't get what she wanted, my child was expendable.
Reaching up, I cup his face and he turns into my hand, kissing my palm. His focus falls on my still flat stomach. Attention captivated, his hand strokes back and forth with such tenderness, I'm on the verge of happy tears. I'll never have to wonder how he feels about this child.
That's why I had to make sure, when I decided to do this, that it was with someone I could trust with my world.
Bending over me, he rains soft kisses on my belly. Dane?
Yeah, baby.
He murmurs against my stomach. Looking up, he waits patiently for me to continue. I don't have it in me to correct him. Mouth dry and heart pounding inside my chest, I marshal the strength to ask, what is this?
This?
He repeats, index finger drawing an invisible circle between us.
This is the world. Everything about me revolves around you. And I mean everything.
As declarations go, it's a pretty powerful one. But what exactly does it mean? I must be the dumb girl because I don't really know what it means.
I can see you thinking.
No thinking. I say with a smile.
I'm thinking. I'm thinking a lot.
His lips are almost on mine when he pauses. He's giving me a last chance to back out. One last chance to avert this train wreck because, let's face it, there's a high probability it will be. All we agree on is that we desperately desire one another. The rest is still up for debate. When I don't stop him, he smiles and kisses me. The moment his lips touch mine, I know I made the right decision. Nothing has ever felt as good as being with Dane. In the unlikeliest of ways, we fit. His hand moves up my bare thigh, taking with it the hem of my dress. Over my lace panties, his fingertips sweep back and forth between my legs, slow enough to drive me crazy, hard enough to have me panting for more. I struggle with his shirt, fumbling with the buttons. Some pop off and go flying across the wood floor. We both stop and stare at each other. Whoopsie, I say, giggling. He rewards me with one of his blinding white grins, shoves the shirt off, then his undershirt. The sight of him bare-chested and up on his knees is almost enough to turn me into a squealing fangirl. I'm not a lucky girl. I'm not the heroine in any epic romance novel. I'm the practical one. The one that knows Jane Austen died a spinster and clings to that reality as the reason not to believe in romance. Give me numbers. Give me dollar bills. Something I can hold on to with both hands. Something real to believe in. But right now, in this instant, looking up at this beautiful man with his big heart and even bigger erection, with longing on his face, and it's all for me. I'm the freaking heroine. I'm finally the lucky one. Dane's face darkens with pure hunger the moment he catches me staring at the erection pushing against his slacks. I stroke him, and he grits his teeth.
Patience, baby.
He kisses me again, and in seconds it turns hot and deep. He nips my bottom lip, sends his tongue in search of mine. His hands over my breasts are pure sorcery, slide down my body, glide teasingly between my thighs. I'm so turned on, my dress might as well be made of steel wool, a medieval torture device. I need it off like yesterday. Somewhere, a cell phone pings. Incoming text.
the hand delving between my legs, the hand pushing aside my underwear and grazing my clit, tells me to ignore.